As an engineering leader, you know firsthand that achieving work-life balance can be hard. Many business owners struggle with the balance between their personal lives and their work. This leads to stress and a feeling of regret. But that's not the case for the listeners of the Engineer Your Success podcast with Dr. James Bryant. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. Tune in. Let's engineer your success today. I want to welcome you to the Engineer Your Success podcast. My name is Dr. James Bryant, your host for the show. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. It is my pleasure to guide you on your journey to designing and living a life where you are winning at work and at home. And I hope that you are having a great week. Today, we have a special guest. It's been a while since we've done an interview-based episode, but today we have Mr. Pete Stegging from B2B Clarity. Pete, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show. And why don't we start by you telling our audience a little bit about yourself?
James, thanks so much. It's great to be here. I'm really excited about this conversation because I am a marketer, but I actually started as an engineer. I like to say I was born an engineer and went into marketing.
You're still an engineer.
Still am.
Once an engineer, you're always an engineer.
I agree. I've had a 30-plus year career doing marketing in companies that were technology-based products or industries. And so I've had a lot of experience with all the ins and outs, big companies, small companies, of how do you market technical products to technical audiences. Through that, I've developed a perspective on marketing that's a little unconventional. And I think it kind of cuts against the grain. And I'm looking forward to getting into that with you. Hopefully it's helpful to your engineer audience.
I want to start by just talking a little bit about your journey. So you said you started as an engineer and then you transitioned into doing marketing. Could you share a little bit about that journey?
Sure. As I said, I was an electrical engineer out of college, loved making things, creating things. I thought of myself as a builder, right? I went to work for IBM. This was at the point where IBM was all about making chips a lot, and went to their fab in East Fishkill, New York with 14,000 other people. Great experience to start. Over the next 7 years, through a couple different jobs, I found myself gradually shifting further and further from the designing of things to the customers, to getting closer and closer to the customers, to the point where I made a decision that was hard for me at the time to say, wow, can I actually go to the dark side of marketing and sales? And I did. I went and got my MBA and found that actually I personally feel more creative and I can build more with marketing and ideas and messaging than even, you know, it's just another way to build and create.
So when you were coming up on that transition, was it something about the task that you were doing on the engineering side that you wanted to get away from, or was it more of the draw to being more connected with the customer? What was the motivation there?
It was the latter. I found that I got energy from finding connections and understanding the ideas that connected people, right? I got energy from making that happen. Like, how can we communicate what we're doing here with this system or this project in a way that shares its value, right?
Yeah.
Which I'm really glad you brought that up, because one of the takeaways, so now I'm in the business, B2B Clarity, I help tech B2B CEOs with their marketing, right? Figure out how to do marketing. I found that technical people struggle maybe more than other business people with marketing. And the reason why is that connection that you brought up.
Yeah.
Marketing at its core, this is my belief, is about relationships. It's about creating relationships. And so that's where the energy was for me, was being involved in making that connection between a business and their prospects and customers.
Great. So before we move on to the marketing piece, I want to make sure that we're able to cover, because there may be people that are listening that are at that point in their career where they're doing the engineering or the technical tasks. They may have a desire to do something in marketing or in operations, something that's different from where they've been doing. And so can you share with the audience, where did you find the courage, or just that transition for you? Something that
they may be able to take and use as they're considering their next move.
Yeah, boy, reflecting back on that time, it was a big deal at the time for me. Yeah. I think a couple of thoughts that I would share. One is you got to listen to yourself, right? I had this identity of being an engineer, you know, strong identity, and I still do. I really value that part of me. So it was hard when I was getting these messages internally that there was this other thing that wasn't engineering, that could I do that? And so it took a lot. And I think it's okay to give yourself the time to really understand it, but you got to listen to that and know where you're going. And then the other thing I want to share about that, in particular with the marketing thing, at that point, I would have grouped them almost together. They felt like, you know, think used car salespeople, right? And what I found is I was equating marketing and sales with some pretty poor models of what it was. Yes. So one of the things that really helped me over the line was to realize that people that are good at marketing aren't doing some of the things that I see that was a negative about marketing and sales.
Well, let's go ahead and call it out, right? Those negative things, whether you're talking about people that are being manipulative,
yes,
or however you want to define them, let's not beat around the bush, because, yeah, you know, many technical people, and I will say for me, would look at marketing and sales in the past and think of the sleazy car salesman, the person that's trying to get something over on you, the pushy person that wants to keep hammering until you actually give in and buy something. There was always something negative associated with that.
Absolutely. This is a core part of how I help CEOs and our engineers fix their marketing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's about realizing that you'll be successful when it's not about you.
Yeah.
So that manipulation, that pushiness, that's about being selfish. That's about you saying, I want them to talk to me. I want them to listen to me. Hey, can I talk to you? Can I tell you, et cetera? That's you taking from your prospect.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's the equivalent of when I was a kid and had to go door to door to sell raffle tickets for the, yeah, Little League. I knew they didn't want to buy these raffle tickets. And it was this terrible feeling of like bothering them with this. Engineers that are successful in this, in their, you know, doing marketing in their business or in thinking of going into that field, realize that if I have something of value, if my company has something of value, I'm actually helping them by exposing them to this value, right? And how can I do that by giving first rather than taking? And that's what it comes down to, generosity in marketing. That's one of what I call the three superpowers of marketing is generosity. Give first, give as long as you can before you charge them.
And I would say, Pete, that's part of being successful in life. It's not just marketing. Generosity is something that can be pervasive in every part of our life, in every interaction that we have, where you're looking to see what can you give, what problems can you solve that people have. Not can I make them aware of the problems that they don't have, but
exactly,
what problems can I solve that they actually bring up? So in you and I have talked offline, and we've said that we're going to have a different discussion sometime in the future about AI and marketing. I'm only bringing it up because in preparation for the interview, I put your website in the ChatGPT and I said, hey, I'm going to be talking to Pete Stegi. And can we, you know, what are some questions that I should ask? And they came up with some really good questions. And so let's go through some of these questions and let's continue to dive a little bit deeper into this marketing piece. So the first question is, what are common marketing mistakes tech companies make and how can they avoid them? And I would add, whether you're talking about a tech company or an engineer or someone with a technical background.
Yeah.
So what are those mistakes?
Yeah. And to your point, it's not just your business making the mistakes. It's you as an engineer trying to share your idea. In a way, you're doing some personal marketing there, right?
Yes.
One of the key ones that I see, I'm going to reflect back. Remember what I said? I think the key to marketing is about relationships and building relationships. Sometimes engineers, in my experience, make the mistake of seeing the world as factual and rational. And so sincerely being excited about the great specs of what they're working on, or facts or information, whatever, that, oh, I just want to tell them about it. Let's just share. Once they see what we have here and how good it is and how much better it is than the other option, and or how well it does everything, let me show you this. The mistake is they're spewing this information before they make the connection on, I can help you, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about what you do. Back to what I said, it's not about you. It needs to start with them, which is, I can help you with your problem, XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
The part the engineers sometimes want to jump to comes later as the proof points or the explanation of how. So that's one really big problem. I think another common engineer marketing mistake is that, especially today, there's so many digital marketing options. It's so easy to do marketing. You can do things and it feels comfortable because you see them spinning, you see that platform, you see the social posts, whatever it might be. It's visual. It's probably got some technical aspect to it. And while that may feel good, it doesn't tend to get very many results. And the reason why is if you do things without first figuring out what will work and what won't work and what's the priority, it ends up with this noisy, inconsistent pile of messaging and communications. And your audience doesn't hear that because they're busy. You've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. If you just get little tidbits from the company, they don't all resonate. You just cancel that out. You ignore it. You don't hear it.
Yeah. One of the ways in which that shows up for me, I tend to say that everything I needed to learn about communication, I learned in the first 3 years of marriage. We've been happily married for a little over 20 years. Early on, it was really evident that we both communicated differently. And I had to learn to package what I was communicating in a way that my wife could actually hear it and receive it. Now, once she heard it and received it, the actions that she take are, that's on her, but it was my responsibility to package it in a way that she could hear it and receive it. And I think it's the same way when we're talking about marketing, is that we have to understand whom we're talking to the point that we can package that information in the way that they can receive it, not just the way that we're comfortable in providing it. Many technical people are really factual and are all of the details, but the people that we're communicating to may not be that way. And so there is this assumption that people make where we think that everybody communicates the same way that we do. The expectation is that the world will conform to how we communicate, but we never take the time to understand how other people communicate. Then we're better able to package our information in the way that they can actually do something with it.
Yeah, and that's a great example. The relationship with my spouse, same thing, 25 years for me.
Hey, you need to make sure you say happy.
Very happy, very happy. Although she's not an engineer.
Yeah. So what are the key indicators when your marketing strategy is not working?
One thing I hear a lot from clients when we first get started, one of the problems that brings us together is our message is so confusing. Our message is so complicated. I had one client that was a leader in their field, really good at what they did. Construction industry solutions provider. And they did all the low voltage implementation. And so they had a lot of different capabilities and offers in a lot of different ways. And they were in a situation where they said, Pete, we don't have time to tell our whole story. And our website's full of all these acronyms. That's a sign of what we're talking about, because that is the manifestation of starting with what you do versus starting with what's the problem you solve.
So in this case, what brought them to that point to understand that their message was confusing? Was it they were reading it? I mean, because they were the ones that wrote it or put it together. So where did the awareness come from that the message was being misunderstood or not understood?
They would, on their website, try to organize it in a way that looks good on a website. And they saw that it was complicated and too confusing, but they couldn't fit together in their environment where they were coming, their perspective, they couldn't see a way to simplify that because they kept trying to simplify the how it works story or what it does.
Okay.
and that got in the way, or when they were on sales calls or their sales collateral. Let me give you another sheet. And they saw that it wasn't working,
gotcha,
that they weren't getting traction. Mm-hmm. They just didn't know how to fix it.
Okay. So in this case, what were some of the things that you did to help lead them from where they were to, I'm assuming, where they are now?
They were really excited about the what I call their true story, which is how they, the problem they solve, and then and who they solve it for, right? A couple frameworks I use to do that. One is called the truth chain. And that is really, think about the product market fit, if you've heard of that. Mm-hmm. It's the idea of a chain of value communication between your customer and you and your business. And if you try to go from your customer, from you directly to the customer, that's what happens. You spew all the, this, oh, we can do all these things. So instead of that, we built a chain of connection where rather than just focusing on the customer, we first said, okay, that's your customer. What are the things that are keeping them up at night that we can help them
with?
Yeah. Right? So what's the problems that are relevant to our solution that they are thinking about? Yeah. To your point, don't try to have them talk about something they don't care about. What do they care about, right? And then from us, rather than just saying, oh, we're a company that does this, what is our superpower? What's our secret sauce? What is it that makes us uniquely capable in this area?
Yeah.
And we're still not there, but now we're close. And then the final effort is connecting our superpower to their up at night problems. And that is this simple story about the problem, what we can help them solve.
Okay.
And in this case, you know, as I said, this was a technology story about all the different ways they can do low voltage solutions.
Mm-hmm.
The story that we ended up with was about bringing workplaces to life.
Mm, okay.
Think about it. This is a commercial real estate construction, and this low voltage is about connecting for Zoom and for security and video. It's all making it alive, right?
Yeah.
So we talked about bringing work to life, and that was the core mission of these new construction projects. And all their technology made that possible, right? And when we got to that, they were so, the light bulbs went, oh,
yeah.
That's what we do. And the great thing is that didn't just help their prospects understand their value.
Help them.
That their employees' mission and, you know, excitement about, they could rally around that. Wow, we're making a difference.
Yeah.
We're helping businesses their day-to-day work, right?
Yeah.
We're helping that work.
And that's the beauty of being able to simplify it in that way, is that what do? We bring workplaces to life. Great.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really easy to understand. You can make that connection. And
it's important. About,
yes, it is very important. Very important. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. So that's a pretty typical example of how this idea of bringing meaning into marketing for a technology company works. It starts with that purpose and that value.
And so you mentioned the value chain as a framework that you use. Are there any other marketing frameworks or strategy that you use to help bring these stories to life?
Another one that I is a favorite of mine is called the content triangle.
Okay.
And so if you think about this story and this message, and then what we said before about putting the customer above you, right? Being focused on the customer. I found that one of the best ways for businesses to give is with content, right? It's value add content. It's not a brochure, like, look what we do. It's, hey, here's a guide to implementing X, Y, and Z. Here's a, you know, five things to think about if you're trying to do ABC, right? It's helpful. It could be an assessment. It could be, you know, a webinar, but it's valuable so that something what they actually can solve a problem from just that information, right?
Mm-hmm.
To create that content that's really going to work, that home run content, the content triangle says it has to have three things in it, three points of that triangle. One, it has to be relevant to that company. So mm-hmm. back to the, what are the three things that's keeping them up at night?
Yeah.
That we can help them with. If you're not writing about that, you're missing an opportunity because that they're not going to listen otherwise, right?
They won't hear you at all. You'll never make it above the noise.
The second thing is it needs to be something in your wheelhouse. So experience. It needs to be in your zone of expertise. Mm-hmm. So now you might say, oh, they really care about this. But if it's not what you do, you're just going to distract them, right? You're taking them away from how you can help them.
Yeah.
But you want to choose things that not only are important to them, but it's in your realm of expertise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, it needs to add value. So it needs to be something that's not an FYI, that's not actually really long and just, oh my God, I should read that, but I can't. It's something that when they consume it, their day got better, their fears were reduced, they were able to solve a problem that very next week. You know, it's something that they were better for having received it from you.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty interesting framework. I've heard of the content triangle before. When we talk about adding value, in some ways that's twofold. It has to add value to them and add value to you or the perception of your brand by being helpful. If you're connecting all of the pieces that you've put together, when you're providing that content, it should add real value to them. And it continues to add value to your brand because they will associate that positive thing, that value added with your brand.
Yes, agreed. And that gets to another important concept about marketing is there is never enough time to do all the marketing you could do.
Yeah.
So you got to do the things that are the most valuable. And so to your point, you can't waste time on things that don't help you on your journey to connecting with your prospects.
No, I think that is great. And you've provided a few kind of key takeaways that I think people can actually go through, listen to this episode, and think through how they could apply this to their marketing strategy, or at least their thought process, or even brainstorming where they're thinking about their marketing and messaging. What are some of the other things? So the two specific things we've talked about was the truth chain and now this content triangle. And those are two specific tools we've kind of went through as thinking about your marketing and messaging. What other things would you want to leave our audience with that may be helpful for them?
One other thing that comes to mind, James, that I think would be a really good add to that is the concept of customer journey and customer journey gaps.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people know what the customer journey is, but I'll frame it the way I think about it.
Please do.
We've said that part of this, the truth chain and that is really understanding exactly who you can help, right? That's your ideal customer. So what I work with clients on, and you could do this, your listeners can do this on their own. Think of that audience, and be as specific as you can about those people that absolutely love what you're doing, and document what would it look like for that to be a successful relationship for us. From somebody that's never heard of us before, start there. How do they hear about us? Where do they go? Where do they read about us, see us, experience us? And then follow them through in as many stages as you want. In my case, I use 7. How they hear about us, how they become curious about us, how they commit and buy from us, what that first use is like, do they buy again? And 3 years later, they love us and they're telling all their peers about us. That's the ideal customer journey. And it's the experience that your prospects and customers have with you that is successful. Then the most important part here is you've done that. Now go back through and say, do a reality check. What is it today? Each of those stages. And what you'll find is some you're doing, it's working like you wanted it to, but other places it's not, right? It may be totally stopped. It may be just there's some resistance. It may be they're going around and doing it, coping by doing it a different way. But what it does is it identifies where you should prioritize your marketing efforts. And yeah, it's so important to prioritize because, as I said before, you can't do everything or you do nothing.
No, I think that's true. And what I'd add to what you are talking about, once you have that journey laid out, right? So you've laid out this journey. Now you're just going to check it. Are the customers following the journey that I thought they were? And if they're not, you have the ability to then make those adjustments to say, this is the actual path that they're taking. So now let's put our marketing dollars or our efforts into the path that the actual customers are taking to get to us.
Yes, I'd say, I think there's two things there. One is what you said. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not what we thought. It's actually this other path and it's mm-hmm. different and we need to adapt to that.
Yep.
Or it's, oh, they're on the path, but we're not doing what we need to do. We're falling short on the path and they're not continuing. Either way, it's bringing you closer to that ideal journey. That's what's back to relationships. Mm-hmm. If you're successful, you've created those relationships on that journey.
Yeah. And part of it is what gets measured gets managed. So if you're not measuring or keeping track of that customer journey, if you're not looking at these things, then it's very difficult for you to make the adjustments that may be needed to be able to react or respond to what your customers are actually doing. I often will say, Pete, that the greatest level of awareness is self-awareness, whether you're talking about an individual or an organization. It's difficult to intentionally change things when you are not aware. And so that awareness may come through measurement, that awareness may come through monitoring, that awareness may come through different surveys or interactions that you have with your customers. But once you have that awareness, then it's taking that step back and saying, okay, how can we make those adjustments?
Absolutely agree.
Pete, I am a bit, you know, we absolutely got to spend some time or have to spend some time talking about AI and marketing. I think that will be a fabulous discussion. We may consider doing that as a LinkedIn live audio because I've had great success on those, or we'll have you come back and we'll talk about that in a different way. Two things. One, do you have any questions for me? So I'll leave that one and then I'll get to the last question.
James, what is the hottest topic that you found for your audience when it comes to engineers and business and success?
There are a few areas. It falls into the technical area. How do you leverage AI and technology to help you improve what you're doing? So you have that discussion. And then you have this discussion that falls into this category is what I would say, Pete, is that engineers are people too. Mm. So the same issues that everyone faces, engineers face, whether you're talking about self-doubt, imposter syndrome, overcoming procrastination, looking at effective delegation strategies, time management and priorities. We all face the same issues. And it goes back to something that we talked about earlier. It's understanding how to package a solution or package the information in a way that audience can actually take it and receive it. So one of the ways that I'm doing that right now is we just started a 10-part blog series on my website where I am looking at how can you apply engineering principles to give you better work-life balance. And so whether you're talking about engineering equations or theories, we go through, explain the theory, and then think of implications as to how that can apply to the readers getting better work-life balance.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it is. I'm really enjoying going through the process of looking the information up and then, okay, how does this apply? What do we need to do? So as I'm having discussions with people in my community, it's gathering that information so that we can produce that very valuable blog content. So the last question that I have for you is there anything else that you would like to share with our listening audience and how can they get in contact?
You know, I'm going to summarize what we talked about before. Maybe this rolls up a lot of what we talked about, but I think it's really important if your audience wants to know how to wrangle this marketing thing and make it work for them.
Yeah.
And it's first that marketing is about relationships. It's not complicated. That's what it's about. And everything should support that. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that is to make it about meaning and tell your true story. We talked about that. Do less and do it better. Because you can't do it all, mm-hmm. and be authentically generous. And if you do those things and just revisit all your stuff so that it's focused on that and your customer journey, you'll see some improvements, I think, in your marketing effectiveness.
How can people get in contact with you, Pete?
Yeah, you can. But probably the easiest way is to find me on LinkedIn. And I also have a website at b2b-clarity.com. And if you'd like a shortcut free resource, you can find that on the website. It's b2b-clarity.com/CEO guide. And that is a pocket guide to how to make marketing work when you're not a marketer.
Oh, cool. So what we'll do, P, we'll have a link to your LinkedIn profile, as well as a link to your complimentary resource. I would tell our audience, go check out what Pete is talking about. I think you've provided value on this podcast, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do that for our audience.
It's been great, James.
You got it. And so I'm going to end this podcast episode like I end every podcast episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it, and there's a select group of people that actually follow through, do it, and are living the life of their dreams or building the business of their dreams or helping other people build businesses and marketing and messages of their dreams. And Pete, I want to thank you for being part of that select few.
Thanks, James.
Thank you for listening to Engineer Your Success with Dr. James Bryant. Do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it, and a small fraction of people actually do it. I believe that you can have success both in business and in life, and it's my passion to guide you on your path to engineering your success. Thanks.